This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Betports. A few weeks ago, I invited you to send emails to Morning Edition to answer a question I don't usually ask. How are you feeling? Because of what's going on in the country and the world, are you thinking differently, living differently, or making changes in your life? Many thanks to the hundreds of you who responded. It was hard to choose which stories to put on the air. Here are just a few of them, starting with these comments from 20-year-old Julianne Hancock of Salt Lake City.
I'm in public relations. I have my eyebrows waxed, my eyelashes dyed. I have not gone by one day in 6 years without makeup. I wear acrylic nails. But now, I run 5 miles a day to prepare for basic training.
A few days after September 11th, Hancock signed up for the Air Force Reserves.
I am nervous. My employers are angry. One of my superiors came into my office the other day to inform me that I can express my patriotism by buying a new car, investing in the stock market, wearing a pin, or donating blood or money. I told him that all the money in the world won't stop what is happening, and I told him he should be proud to employ me.
This event so changed me that I now realize I have a responsibility to reach out in whatever way I can and to give in whatever ways I can.
In late August, Barbara Birch of Fort Collins, Colorado, was laid off from her job at Hewlett-Packard. By mid-September, she had decided what to do next.
This is my one and only life. And at the ripe old age of 55, I am looking forward to the day that I can sign my name, Barbara Birch, Peace Corps volunteer.
My name is Brad Coltrane, and I live near Birmingham, Alabama. I teach 10th grade American literature in a suburban public high school.
Coltrane says something has changed in his classroom. His students used to complain about the authors and poets they studied. "We can't relate to this stuff," they'd say. But now, says Coltrane, those same authors make sense.
When Ann Bradstreet searches for meaning in the burning of her house or in the death of children, we know a little of her suffering, confusion, and hope. When Carl Sandburg reminds us of the greatness of our cities, or when Walt Whitman reminds us of our strength and diversity, or when even Allen Ginsberg offers to put his queer shoulder to the wheel, we suddenly get it. Some of these writers are patriots, some are radicals, but they are all Americans. These writers help us cope.
Another English teacher from Banning High School near Los Angeles sent essays from her 11th and 12th graders.
My name is Esmeralda Salazar. I used to watch a lot of TV all the time, and since the tragedies, I have been trying to keep away from it. I see the world as a...
My name is Jennifer Promo. I have been watching news more, trying to learn what's going to happen next. I worry if any of my family will get drafted.
My name is Jose Luis Ayala. I find myself trying to explain every day to my mom what is happening. Since she doesn't understand much English, I tell her not to be worried about the mail.
My name is Adriana Rojas. The things in my house have changed for our own good. The relationship with my mom was real bad. Now that this tragedy has occurred, we go out more often and talk to each other, and now my whole family does more things together.
Other listeners sent emails about how the slump in the economy has affected their lives. Terry Manier of Charleston, South Carolina, writes that his fledgling graphic design business relied mostly on companies in tourism and manufacturing. He writes, "On September 12th, I received phone calls from clients telling me everything was on hold. They still are. I've canceled my medical insurance, defaulted on my student loans, and sold my surfboard. The bills are stacking up." But not all businesses have been affected the same way.
This is Robert Orenstein. I live in Chicago, Illinois. I'm coping just fine, thanks. The career I left a couple years ago was in banking, and I've been selling life insurance for 2 years, and I'm finding that the present environment is really good for business.
Hard to believe, Orenstein says, but he's done more life insurance business in the past 2 weeks than in all of last year.
You know, people don't like to talk about death, but since September 11th, people have to acknowledge that death can come at any time from any source, and so people are interested in finding out what I can do to help them. They don't feel that I'm coming out to sell them something. They feel that I'm coming out to help them.
Work life has changed for another man who sent an email from a small city out west. He works for an airline, but prefers to keep its name, as well as his own name, private. Security reasons, he says. He's a customer service agent who no longer just gives out boarding passes, but now gets to work at 4:30 each morning to do a full security sweep of the airplane.
I search the lavatories, looking behind the trash bins, down the trash chutes, up beneath the wash basins, inside the tissue boxes, and even inside the toilet paper roll on the spindle, anywhere someone could hide something that shouldn't be there. I take my responsibility pretty seriously, like this is my part of the war on terrorism.
My name is Julie Brooke, and I live in San Francisco.
Here's another story about flying, or not flying. Julie Brooke had a ticket on a flight to Asia. She says after September 11th, she called the airline to change the date of her departure so she wouldn't have to fly on Christmas Day.
I explained that I was scared that terrorists might think that Christmas would be a good, symbolic day for terror, and that I would feel more comfortable not traveling on that day. I added that the U.S. might be bombing the Afghans on Ramadan, an upcoming major Muslim holiday, and that they might want to retaliate on a major Christian holiday, Christmas. My call was transferred. The supervisor said my call was actually transferred to her because the reservation agent thought I was a possible threat and that I was predicting terror. She said the agent was unfamiliar with the word Ramadan, and it scared her. I wonder what would have happened if I had said Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. Now I don't know what to be more afraid of, the terrorists or our new culture of fear and suspicion.
But many of you wrote about a new positive culture, a new pride in being an American, renewed gratitude for life's simple gifts, restored connections to family. But there were also a number of emails like this one from Sheila Skemp, who teaches at the University of Mississippi.
I don't mean this to sound callous. Still, it's true, nothing that much has changed. My students continue to cut classes or study for tests as the mood hits them. They party as hard as ever. They cheer as much at football games as they ever have. What's changed? I would say the news. The network media seem to be consumed by this story. This, it seems to me, is the important fallout from September 11th. We refuse to think that there is anything else that matters.
One final comment from a woman whose story begins on Academy Boulevard in Monument, Colorado. Kira Anderson's car was hit from behind by a man who didn't have any insurance. Anderson says the accident happened after September 11th, but if it had happened before, she would have gone after the man, taken legal action.
Much to my personal amazement, I found that wasn't in me anymore. I found myself thinking instead about this middle-aged man. Obviously in some financial need, old car, had to let his insurance lapse. I followed the probable impact my signatures would have on his life. He becomes a frequent recipient of steady threatening phone calls, probably winding up in court and getting his wages garnished. It didn't take me long to believe that if I made the expedient choice, I would become the terrorist. I kid you not. Americans are already stressed out, in need and in fear. Was I going to dump another load of terror, fear of the future, stress, and financial hardship on this guy? Was I really? I simply couldn't do it.
Anderson says the man promised to pay for the damage to her car if he could do it his way, in small increments, over several weeks. And that's what he's been doing.
Maybe we both just got lucky. I suspect we're both surprised at who each other turned out to be. But I bet we're not the only Americans amazed at what we're finding within others and within ourselves these days.
Kira Anderson of Monument, Colorado. Many thanks to her and to all of you who sent emails to Morning Edition. Thank you for sharing your stories with the rest of the audience. A number of emails that couldn't fit into this program are featured on the website, npr.org.